Going old school today. Had to bump some of that Alexander O'Neal. What's going on, family? Welcome to a brand new episode of Tariq Radio. Glad to have everybody tuning in, ladies and gentlemen. Ready to chop up some great game as we always do. What I'm going to do, I'm going to take that real quick commercial break. The phone number is 818-850-5404. That's the number. Give me a call. But before we do all that, let's take a quick commercial break, and I will be right back right here on Tariq Radio.
Learn the truth about the game by joining dating and life coach Mr. Locario and Miles Cunningham live in New York City on Saturday, April 14th at the NYC Seminar and Conference Center for the Truth About the Game seminar. In this seminar, Mr. Locario will teach you exactly what you need to know to be successful with women. Space is extremely limited, so purchase your tickets today at MrLocario.com. That's MRLOCARIO.com. MrLocario.com.
What's up, family? If you are a recording artist, and I mean you're really serious about your music, then go to LegendaryMix.com for experience. No-nonsense audio engineers that can professionally mix and master your music. With almost 20 years behind the board, their expertise is unmatched. LegendaryMix.com delivers professional music mixing and mastering for a very good price with fast turnaround times. As a bonus, sign up to the email list at www.legendarymix.com and you'll receive a link to a free music marketing ebook. So don't hesitate, family. Go right now. Send a text to LegendaryMix.com at 347-565-5892 or email them at music@LegendaryMix.com. Yo, what's up, family? Go out right now and get the brand new single from Poetry entitled Get Right. Now, Get Right is available right now on iTunes, Spotify, Tidal, and all digital platforms. Follow Poetry at Poetry the God on Instagram right now. All songs are mixed and mastered by my people over at LegendaryMix.com. So be sure to get the single Get Right right now, available right now. What's up, family? Are you struggling to get your business off the ground? In today's digital economy, anyone can start a company from home, but only a few will know how to launch their brand online and actually make it successful. If you want to uncover the same knowledge that 6, 7, or even 8-figure earners know how to use and generate, then go to BigMoneySites.com/Tariq and get the free ebook, The 6 Secret Steps to a Money-Making Website. Inside, you'll learn the 6 essential elements you must know to include on your site to start getting sales. So again, go to BigMoneySites.com/Tariq.
You look out your window and see people enjoying a beautiful day, but you can't because you need to wait for hours at the tax office to do your taxes. Those days are over. Let Hoosier Tax Man help you. We do tax preparation, individual and business. And best of all, you don't have to leave home. With our virtual tax prep service, submit your documents to our secure and encrypted portal. We use the same level of security your bank uses for online banking. We are licensed and bonded, and you'll get the maximum refund guarantee. Call us at 1-800-951-9591, 1-800-951-9591, or visit us at HoosierTaxMan.com.
Hey fam, this is T, co-host of the mind-blowing podcast Champagne Sharks. Join me and co-host D Mills and Mike as we use current events, pop culture, and history to break down the psychology and unseen daily workings of white supremacy. We guarantee you'll never look at the world around you the same way again after just one listen. Just Google Champagne Sharks to find the show. And for my Black Panther movie peeps to fuck with Team Killmonger, check out our Killmonger Was Right and Killmonger Versus Everybody shirts over at KillmongerWasRight.com.
What up, everybody? It's your boy, Chris Man, everybody.
and I got a brand new video game app out right now, everybody. It's called Crispy's Biscuits, everybody. And you can get the Crispy's Biscuits app right now on the iPhone Apple Store, everybody. And you can also get it on the Google Play Store, everybody. As a matter of fact, everybody, it was the number one game on Google Play all last week, everybody. The game is so exciting, everybody. There's 10 levels you can help me get through, everybody. Where I'm dodging bottles of lotion, everybody. I'm dodging hair clippers, everybody. And I'm dodging taco meat, everybody. So get the Crispy's Biscuits game right now, everybody, at crispysbiscuits.com, everybody. Now I'm about to do my coon laugh, everybody.
The most intense new video game app has now arrived. A medieval kingdom has been plagued with chaos and disorder. An evil force has dominated the land. And now it is up to the bravest knights to fight back the demonic forces and bring justice to the kingdom of the Moors. Play the newest, most exciting battle fight game app ever, Moorish Kingdom. Available at moorishkingdom.com.
You're now tuning into the King of Game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
Yo, we are back. What's going on, family? Welcome back to Tariq Radio. I am your gracious host. I am Tariq Nasheed, ready to chop up some good game with the glorious family in here today. I hope everybody has gone to HiddenColorsFilm.com to get your Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4 DVDs to soak up that historic game. And also, I hope you got your 1804 Hidden History of Haiti DVD at 1804movie.com, ladies and gentlemen. Let me shout out to my 300. I always say I just need 300 down folks, but I got to shout out to my core group, my 300, for everybody going out and making a pre-order for my group, Mink Slide, our new single called It's Time. You've heard the song. You've probably seen the video. The pre-orders are doing great on iTunes and on Google Play. The song is going to be released officially next week on March 20th. That's the release date on all music platforms, on Tidal, Spotify, Pandora. That's the official release date next week on the 20th. When it's released on the 20th, I need everybody to get their Spotify on, stream it as much as possible, bump the jam, people. Love the song. It's Time. It brings some of that old school 80s style R&B funk back. We're taking back control of the music, because that's my whole thing. My whole thing is us taking back control of the shit. And it's going to come out strong. Again, if you're listening now, if you have not made the pre-order for the music, it's only $1. If you go to iTunes, right, as a matter of fact, I want you guys who's listening, it's almost 1,000 people in the chat room right now. Everybody who's listening, go to iTunes right now. It's going to take you about 20 seconds to do it. 20 seconds and $1. Just go to iTunes, type in Mink Slide, M-I-N-K, Slide. It's Time. Our picture will come up. Pre-order the song. All my people on Google Play, go to Google Play right now as I'm speaking. It's 99 cents. Knock that out. Very easy. Very to the point. Android, somebody in the chat room said, what about Android? It's available right now for pre-order right now on Google Play. So all my Android users, all my niggas with the Samsungs, grab that right now. Not only do you grab it, do you pre-order it, I want you guys to give a review. Because we want to come out strong next week. We want to make a statement. This is very important. This is very important. Because the thing is, I like doing music, but the thing is, I like to be in situations where we can shift control back to us, where we can start being players. We can start making social moves that's going to sway how things are done on a global public scale. See, I've done that with the books. When I started writing books, my books helped change the way that relationship books came out. When my books came out, I was the sacrificial lamb. When my Mackin books came out, it was okay to be a quote-unquote pickup artist. That's when they flipped it into pickup artist stuff. You understand? And it's very important that we grab a hold of these movements and we control them. Just like with the movie industry and the documentary industry. We and you, including the 300, we made it profitable to talk about black empowerment in films. Because of you all supporting the movies like Hidden Colors 1, Hidden Colors 2, Hidden Colors 3, Hidden Colors 4, 1804, supporting these grassroots moves and these films that competed directly with what was happening with the majors out there, that made them realize that they're going to have to start speaking about black empowerment in a way that they can profit off of it, but they can put it in the forefront. Now, they're still going to kind of flip it and mix it up a little bit, but now they're going to have to acknowledge the black audience. But we need to be in a situation where we can control that. We need to be in a situation where we can control that, family. And I want to do the same thing with the music game. Shout out to everybody giving to the Melanoid Ministries over here. But we need to do the same thing with the music game. And we can do that. Because our single is bumping. People love the single. But it's just deeper than having a hot single. I want to make a movement out of it where we are taking back control of the music. We get to dictate the direction that the music is going to go in. We're going to make certain things hot on our terms instead of waiting for the white person who's an A&R at a major label telling us what's hot. And what they're going to tell us is Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang. Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang. Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang. That's what they're going to tell us. You understand? So we're going to bring that thing back. I'm trying to get a whole new Motown movement going on because, look, with this Ming Slide thing we're doing, I'm bringing in other people. There's a group that I'm flying in from Atlanta called The Apex. Love them, and I talk about them all the time. It's a husband and wife team, funky as hell. I'm bringing them to be on the album and to work on it. So I'm bringing a whole bunch of folks in the mix. We're going to kick in the door heavy. We're going to kick in this door heavy. So we're trying to make a movement out of this thing, for real. We're trying to send a message with this. And when we come out strong, when the song is released, that's going to send a message. You understand? We're going to take the shit back on our terms because we let the dominant society tell us what R&B is. To them, R&B is a moist nigga with a lace front ponytail on a beach riding a unicorn in his fucking drawers and some open-toe flip-flops with Velcro straps on them, singing about his lover. He ain't even singing about a woman. Niggas all androgynous with the lyrics. My lover left me. You don't know what niggas are talking about these days. It's moist shit all over the place. We're going to take it back to some playerism. We're taking it back. We're tired of niggas in skinny jeans and taco meat and tongue rings telling us what the goddamn hell R&B is. We don't know who niggas are singing to these days. You dig? But like I said, man, everybody, go to iTunes right now and get that pre-order game right now. Go to Android. Go to your Android phone. If you got a Samsung phone, make sure the shit ain't gonna blow up in your ear. But go to Samsung or whatever phone you got, the Android. Somebody in the chat room said, who am I calling out? I mean, damn, have you seen R&B videos these days? There's a whole bunch of funny style shit going on. You don't know who these niggas singing to. You got R&B singers, dudes, coming out on stage in dresses and shit. There's a whole bunch of them. I ain't talking about nobody in particular. There's niggas out here with dresses with spaghetti straps and shit. I don't know what y'all talking. It's a whole bunch of these niggas. I don't know. Shit. Niggas with dresses and booty shorts on and the S&B. All right. We're going to take it back. God damn it. It's time. Man. But I digress, man. A lot of stuff we're going to talk about tonight. I'm not going to try to be on here too long because I'm going to the studio actually tonight. We're working on finishing up on the Mink Slide album. Let me say this. Shout out to my people in Austin, Texas, man. In Austin, there's apparently some white supremacists running around there planting bombs at black people's houses. And like, shit, three or four black folks then got blown up out there. One brother died, a 17-year-old black man. There was another black man a couple of weeks earlier who was blown up by a goddamn bomb in Austin. So there's a white supremacist or white supremacists, plural, running around Austin, Texas, deliberately putting bombs on black people's homes. Somebody said there was one lady the other day was Hispanic, but most of the people that's being targeted are black. And notice law enforcement start acting dumb. Well, we're trying to determine if it's racially motivated. Three black folks then got blown the fuck up, and now we're trying to determine if it's racially motivated. Listen, I've been warning people for the longest about how these white supremacists have been trying to come up with ways to go into black areas to target us in all-out attacks. I've been warning people about this for years, telling y'all how they're trying to do it. Especially down in Texas, they kept trying to do these open carry marches down there in Texas. You notice I kept warning y'all about that, and I kept saying, hey, shut that shit down. And shout out to some brothers and sisters down there in certain parts of Texas, like in Dallas and Houston, who did shut down these white supremacist groups trying to do open carry walks in black neighborhoods. They were trying to do it under the guise of, well, we're trying to show the black community how to understand gun laws. Bullshit. They were trying to see how much opposition they would get if they tried to go into a black neighborhood armed, so that when they want to launch attacks, they know the soft spots they can hit up. See, we gotta take the threat seriously. And understand this, whenever we see somebody in the dominant society come into a black neighborhood, you go on alert. If it's a quote-unquote black neighborhood and somebody wants to move in, and you see somebody walking around at night, there's some funny style going on. See, we don't take the threat seriously because we want so badly to be liked and loved. And I've seen some of these open carry white supremacists go into certain black neighborhoods, and some of the young dudes, they're laughing and giggling with them, not understanding the threat. Because the problem is, we're going to have to be very honest, we have a generation now. There's a lot of baby coons in this generation. Understand, there's a lot of old coons out there, and them old coons done raised some baby coons. Some of these little baby coons, they can't see a threat for nothing. They don't know when a threat is sitting there staring them in the face, because they've been taught to worship and praise and value white mommy, white daddy. Whenever they see white mommy, white daddy, they think there's going to be some treats and goodies. And you don't know, this person is feeling you out to see when it's safe to attack you. And young folks need to understand this. And I'm talking directly to the young people, because I have a very young audience. And you know who you are. Either you know a little baby coon who's one of your peers at school, or you might be a little baby coon yourself. So we're going to have to make an assessment here. But that little baby coon spirit is going to have to stop, because we're going to have to start checking all that shit. We've been checking the old coons. We've been going in on them, like the Jesse Lee Petersons and the Crispies and all these people. We check the older coons, the NAACP, many of the coons there. You know, they know how to move a certain way now. But the thing is, a lot of these baby coons are getting some traction out here. But the thing is, with black folks, we got this thing where we don't know a threat when it's there, because we see somebody in the dominant society and it's like, oh Lord, Jesus Christ has moved next to me. Oh, I'm talking to the Messiah. We have this Messiah complex when it comes to those in the dominant society, and we do not want to recognize a threat. I was looking at something the other day on television. They were talking about Jeffrey Dahmer's ass. You know, they with Jeffrey Dahmer, they keep trying to make it seem like he was just he was mentally ill and he was just so crazy. And they even determined in court, wasn't shit wrong with Jeffrey Dahmer. Jeffrey Dahmer was not mentally insane. For those who don't know, Jeffrey Dahmer was this white supremacist who murdered and ate a bunch of black people because he was targeting black people for the most part. Most of the people he was targeting was black people. As a matter of fact, he moved into a black neighborhood. Over there in Milwaukee, Jeffrey Dahmer actually moved into a black neighborhood. And the thing is, the neighbors, they ignored a lot of the suspicious shit that was going on. They ignored a lot of suspicious stuff that was going on with Jeffrey because he's white, so it's all right. And he had a black neighbor that he was real cool with, and she had a little mammy spirit, this older sister. And she's making all types of excuses for him. She was like, well, I don't know what was happening over there at Jeffrey's house. I came out in the hallway and it smelled funny. I'm like, is he over there cooking them chitlins? He got to clean them chitlins. She's cooning it up. Her eyes bucking. He's over there at the house cooking niggas. But the thing is, he knew to move into a black neighborhood where he can go undetected for years. I mean, he was doing this shit for a decade. You understand? And black folks, nothing. You act like this creepy ass fucker, nothing. You're not going to say nothing, but he's white, so that makes it all right. You don't know a threat when it's right there in your damn face. You don't know a threat when it's right there in your face. Also, and I'm not trying to sully people who have died. I'm not trying to trivialize that. But we got to see, when we see a damn suspected white supremacist coming around a black neighborhood, you go on alert. We are the mammy coon spirit come out. Same thing with Dylann Roof. When Dylann Roof, crazy little ass, walked in that church, everybody in that church should have went on alert. He walked in the church and they sent up here praying with him. He got a big ass bag. You ain't suspicious. He walks in a church with a big ass bag of guns and then start capping everybody because they in there praying with him. We think if we show these folks, these suspected white supremacists, our humanity, they're going to somehow reciprocate, and that's not going to happen. We got a real big problem with that. We're going to have to understand a threat when it's there and stop buck dancing and cooning it up. And you old coons, stop raising these little baby coons because now they don't know the threat. And the thing is, this is why it's very important that we control the narrative. This is why it's important that we take control of narratives and let people know what's happening. My dude, Jason Black, he's trying to warn y'all. Jason Black has a whole movie called Race War. He's trying to warn y'all. See, niggas be wanting to argue with us and be like, well, no, it ain't that. All we got to do is we got to get sovereign citizenship. Niggas be having all these bullshit-ass excuses and deflections to run away from the truth, because the truth is kind of heavy for a lot of Negroes. When somebody's telling you, hey, there's a race war, if somebody's telling you, hey, man, these white supremacists are coming at you, there's a threat, man, all that pro-black talk, what you talking about, man? Boy, the fiddle and the tap shoes come out. Y'all don't want to hear that because niggas are afraid of the damn truth. And the little baby coons are even more afraid of the truth. We got to stop being afraid of the truth and understand the threat when the threat is there. That's why it's very important for us to control the media narrative. It's very important for that. You know, what's interesting, I saw something this week, you know, National Geographic. They came out and made an apology for all their racist imagery for over the decades. They made an official apology. They said National Geographic, because it started off as a magazine, then it became a television network. And they came out and apologized, saying, hey, you know, we're sorry. You know, we've been kind of racist over the years with our portrayal of people of color, meaning black people. Because they've been called out, particularly by me and others, for their racist imagery of black people. Understand, if you look at the first Hidden Colors film, the very first thing that's in the film, I'm talking about, I'm looking at these channels, the National Geographic Channel, the History Channel. I'm watching these channels, and the images of black people were not only negative, if anything positive was just not there. So in the first Hidden Colors film, I explain why I'm doing these films, and the films became hugely successful. I created the Hidden Colors series because of the bullshit imagery that National Geographic and others portrayed of us globally. National Geographic, they've always portrayed African people as primitive, backwards, demonic, insane. They've always done that. Now that people are waking up, people are looking to alternative medias, like what we're doing, learning the truth. That makes National Geographic and the History Channel somewhat irrelevant, because when you're getting the truth over here, everybody, they want to gravitate towards the truth, white and black. That's why those Gods of Egypt movies keep failing. Because now when you have the truth out there, and then they tell you that the Egyptians look like Sigourney Weaver and all these Anglo white people, now you're like, it's just too unrealistic for me. And then that shit flops. So this is why we have to have a parallel media, and we have to sustain it and continue to support it and continue to tell our narrative. Because those networks, again, I've talked about this many times, they never show anything positive when it comes to African history, which is cool. We'll talk about it, and we'll get it popping on our side over here. But it's very important, like I said, controlling the narrative. Like, for a long time, I've been warning people about these different white supremacist groups. Since 2015, there's one particular white supremacist female named Lauren Southern. I've been warning people about her and her ass. She just got banned from the UK. She's a white supremacist terrorist. What she does, she goes out here and they raise money to get these ships to go out into the sea, the Mediterranean Sea, and they do it because it's international waters. There's no jurisdiction in certain parts of the ocean and the sea. And they launch these attacks against African refugees trying to get to safety. They do this little slick shit. That's terrorism. They're trying to make people's boats capsize, and they're trying to drown people. I mean, they're out here trying to murder people. And this Lauren Southern chick, she's been detained in Italy. They detained her in the UK and they banned her from coming to the UK. And she's on social media whining, oh my God, my free speech. They're trying to stop me from free speech. And these people are straight up terrorists. And this is why it's up for us to tell the truth about these folks, because in the media, they refer to her as a far right journalist. She's not a far right fucking journalist. She's a damn white supremacist terrorist. Because they got her on a terrorist list up there in the UK now, because they know you give these white supremacists an inch, they'll take a mile and they'll start launching attacks like they're doing here. Over here in the States, these white supremacists are shooting up schools. These white supremacists are blowing up churches. These white supremacists are putting bombs on people's homes. So the UK, they're like, hey, fuck that. Let me get them the fuck up out of here. We're not going to have that here. Not that we're so crazy about non-whites, but we know that these white extremists, they will start targeting other white people because they're fucked up like that. But the thing is, we have to understand a threat, and we have to acknowledge a threat, and we have to acknowledge when the white supremacists are getting on code so that we can get on code and not use things as an opportunity to coon. Like this OJ thing. They've been talking about OJ again. They've been going on and on and on and on about OJ. They played this bullshit fake confession video and they really hyped that up. And the thing is, they've been on this OJ thing for 25 years. Really, the signs behind that is that they've always looked for some reverse racism narrative to show that somehow black people got over on white people systematically, and that gives them justification to harm black people in large numbers. That's really what this whole OJ thing is. Understand, it's not about OJ. I've had little baby coons sit up and say, hey, man, fuck OJ. Man, why are we supporting OJ? It ain't about OJ, you little idiot. It's not about OJ. This whole OJ hatred ain't about fucking OJ. It ain't about him. This is about black folks in general. OJ is just a proxy. When they aired that special about that OJ confession bullshit, there was Negroes lined up going overboard with the whole, ooh, OJ guilty as hell. Ooh, Lord Jesus, God damn it, OJ. Why'd you do it, OJ? You so guilty, Lord Jesus. Niggas was just tap dancing and bucking their eyes, and they were going overboard with the whole OJ is guilty narrative. They were doing that to show out in front of white mommy and white daddy. They were showing white mommy and white daddy. White mommy, white daddy, give me a pass. I agrees with you. I agree with you. OJ did it. He's so guilty. He guilty as hell. I mean, niggas was really going overboard with it. They were going extra overboard with it to show out. That's showing out at that point. A lot of these little baby coons think that they're going to get a pass by getting around white people shitting on OJ, because they know if they say that, well, I don't think OJ is guilty, you know you're going to get some negative heat from white mommy, white daddy. Because we got a bunch of scary baby coons out here now who can't stand up to white supremacy for nothing. They're chicken shit. See, niggas will talk a good game online around other Negroes, but the minute white mommy and white daddy get in the room, they'll freeze up and shine them tap shoes right on up. These baby coons put on the little orthopedic baby tap shoes and get to going. Because I broke down on my timeline how OJ is 100% innocent. I don't believe he's guilty. And if you look at the facts of the case, not this whole I'm white and I say so narrative, because that's another thing. When you start breaking down facts, and I studied this case left and right, so I know the facts and the ins and outs of this case. And when you start lighting these fuckers up, and I mean the white supremacists, when you start lighting them up with facts, all of a sudden they want to get into personal name calling. Well, you're stupid. When they start doing that, that means you can't argue facts. Because their whole thing is, it better be on, it's just, I'm white and I say so. He's guilty because I say he's guilty. It don't work like that. That's why you got to understand the facts and understand the contradictions. For example, when they talk about OJ, the defense was like, well, he couldn't have committed those murders and killed two people. The man had arthritis, and damn, he couldn't do all that. He's jumping over fences, jumping over walls, and he didn't kill two people in 20 minutes, got rid of the damn bloody glove, the bloody clothes, the bloody knife. He got rid of all that, killed two people, got rid of all that in 20 minutes, went home and got ready to go on a flight. I mean, time-wise, that don't make no sense. And the prosecution was like, oh, no, his arthritis wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad. But then when he tried on the glove and the glove didn't fit, they're like, well, damn, this ain't his glove. Then they go back to the arthritis thing. Well, he did have arthritis and it made his hands grow. If you don't take arthritis medicine, your hands will get big. So now the arthritis is so fucked up, it made his hands grow. I mean, which one is it? You said the arthritis wasn't that bad, but now it's so bad his hands grew. So when you point little shit like that out, then they say, oh, fuck you, nigga. Then it becomes fuck you, nigga. You dig? And also, another thing, Nicole's phone records, they don't like, they've been hiding that for years. Because OJ's people, they've been trying to get those phone records for years. And the prosecution and the law enforcement, they've been blocking access to those phone records. Because those phone records will tell the truth. Because the narrative was that Nicole was actually on the phone with her mother when OJ was already in the air, because the timeline of the murder was between 9 and 12. So OJ was already on his flight when Nicole was on the phone with her mother. So that just exonerated him, but they've been blocking those phone records for years. So it was a whole bunch of shit, family. Whole bunch of shit. It's a whole bunch of shit. But the thing is, this generation, you cannot let these white supremacists punk you into going along with their narrative. You have to be objective about certain things. Now, you know, there was a trial recently. This young lady, Jazzy, and me and her were corresponding today. And I posted something about her on my Instagram. You know, there was a case where this sister, she's in college, and she had a white supremacist roommate who was doing all types of disgusting things to her personal products. This white supremacist roommate was rubbing period blood on this sister's toothbrush and spitting in her, just doing, I don't want to repeat some of the gross shit she was doing. But this white supremacist female was doing a bunch of vile shit to this sister, and this sister kept getting sick because this white supremacist female kept sabotaging her personal hygiene products. So they went to court, and the court was hella lenient on this white supremacist female. They were extremely lenient on her. And they were in court the other day, and the headline says, black female who was targeted by white roommate comes to court to support her. So they made it seem like the sister was supporting the white girl who had sabotaged her. That was the headline. Now, the headline was a little extra. They did go extra on the headline because technically she wasn't there to support the woman. Because I talked to the sister because I put that post up and a lot of people were going in on the sister, which is unfortunate. I didn't want nobody to go in on her. Now, she didn't go there to support the white girl. But the thing is, Jazzy, she didn't oppose the lenient sentence. So what the media did, they flipped that and said, okay, well, that's really support then. And I was talking to her. I'm like, you and your lawyer should have had a sit down. Y'all should have came to some agreement where you can say, hey, look, I do not agree with what's happening. I don't agree with this lenient sentence. Because, you know, Jazzy was doing some explaining. No, it was this, that. I mean, she was kind of talking in circles. But the thing is, Jazzy, she going in court, you know, she's a young girl, but the thing is, y'all can't be going up in here trying to be cute and focusing on some bullshit. Y'all, you need to talk to your lawyer and get some shit out here like, hey, I ain't cool with this. The thing is, she kind of went along with the program because they trying to get a civil suit going on. So she probably went in there like, hey, I just keep my mouth shut. They're going to give her a little bullshit sentence. It's whatever. But I'm about to get paid, so let me just kind of keep my mouth shut. That's what it looks like. Because my thing is, look, don't talk tough online and then get up there in the courtroom and then, you know, start chickening out. Don't freeze up in the courtroom. You dig? And another thing, after the trial, Jazzy, and they were, the NAACP was out there, they all outside in a prayer circle and all this. I'm like, y'all stop that bullshit. And I was telling her, I'm because she was, you know, she hit me up in the DMs because she was upset because I put up that post talking about there was a little mammyism going on because we don't need, you know, we suspected her of doing a little baby cooning, but she's cool. She didn't know no better. So I'm going to give her a pass as far as that. She didn't know any better, but I'm telling my young folks, start asking questions, start talking to your lawyer, start saying to your people, hey, I don't want to sit here and just keep my mouth shut. And if I make a statement, I want to be able to oppose the bullshit. You're going to have to talk to your people and definitely stay out of them damn prayer circles. See, you can't justify that. She's trying to splain away all the other shit, but you can't splain that fucking prayer circle y'all were doing, which y'all really going to have to cut out. That's some coon shit you're going to have to cut out, and it's used against you. That's why I tell people, if you get into a situation, y'all holler at me so I can consult you on how to work the media and how not to fall into their traps, because the media will try to put you into a coon bag. They want you to look like a coon or do something that they can flip and make it seem coonish so that they can be lenient on the white perpetrator, because they understand that there's going to eventually be a civil suit. So if they put out in the media that the black girl was somehow forgiving of the white criminal terrorist, well, then they'll use that to be lenient in the civil case and not give you nothing. See, the white supremacists, they all look out for each other. The white supremacists really look out for each other in the courtroom, in the law enforcement, in the media. They get on code. they understand chess, not checkers. They know the long game. So they're going to start looking out for each other. They know there's going to be a civil suit. That's why they're creating that forgiveness narrative. And when the NAACP and all of them come up there and y'all praying and shucking and jiving and all that, they love that. They going to use that to say, hey, look, they forgave her. They prayed for her. So let's not reward that much money. That's still that forgiveness shit. You can explain as much as you want to, but that's still that forgiveness narrative that the media is going to exploit. Y'all get off that bullshit. Please get off that forgiveness, we going to pray shit. No, you better go in there straight up and down like, hey, we want justice. Forgiving these people ain't going to help you. You think if you forgive them, they're going to be somehow generous to you in some lawsuit? No. Y'all need to consult with me when y'all go into situations like this so I can show y'all how to strategize, and because I know how the media works. I know how they get down. We got to understand shit. And speaking of praying, R.I.P. to Craig Mack, the rapper Craig Mack, who was on Bad Boy. He was the first artist on Bad Boy Records. That brother died. Craig Mack died. It was real weird. It was just kind of out of nowhere. He was 46 years old. It was some kind of heart condition, they said, he died of. And he was down there living in South Carolina. He was down there living in South Carolina. And this is the thing. Craig Mack was involved with this weird ass white Christian cult. And I posted some video of him with this real creepy, weird ass white Christian cult group. And the head of the group is a dude named Ralph Gordon Stair. And there's a video of Ralph Gordon Stair standing there with Craig Mack. Craig Mack is like one of the only black people in this church. And Craig Mack is up there rapping. And the dude, the leader of the cult, has his arm and he's all uncomfortably hugged up on Craig Mack. Just a real creepy ass damn dude. I said, something's up with this. So I started doing some research. You know, I'm gonna come up with the receipts and come to, I said, okay. This dude, the cult leader, his name is Ralph Gordon Stair. This dude was just recently arrested for child molestation. He's on bail now for child molestation. So I'm still putting two and two together trying to see what's up. You know, I'm just looking at all the weirdness. I'm just putting a lot of stuff together. And this is nothing to sully Craig Mack. I'm not saying Craig Mack did anything wrong. Who the fuck these people he was involved in? And I'm going to ask questions because my thing is, whenever black folks get involved with these white cults, something fucked up always happens. That goes back to Jim Jones. Black folks all around that old crazy ass a dude, Jim Jones, and Jim Jones is making black folks give him their welfare checks and they go down to South America. Then he make all these black people do a mass suicide pact. It's always some bullshit, man. We gotta watch who we're around. I'm just saying, I'm not trying to be, you know, I'm not trying to have the tinfoil hat on, but I'm just saying, when we get around these cults and they're freaky and weird, and then we start and a black person die and they're around one of these crazy ass cults, I'm gonna ask some questions. I wanna see what's going on. Because I know we don't understand how deep these folks are with some of the shit that they will do. We don't know how freaky and creepy they are, what type of sacrifices they be doing. You don't know what the fuck these folks be doing, man. They are freaky and creepy. A lot of people are saying it's like the real Get Out. That's what it looks like. If you look at Craig Mack around all these weird old country white Christian cult people, it looks like the movie Get Out. I mean, it looks like the plot of a horror movie. It looks weird as fuck, man. I'm just saying, man. But the thing is, when it comes to some of these baby coons out here, understand a lot, these baby coons are cultivated and raised by older coons. You notice a lot of these dudes who have this mentality where they got to go get the whitest woman. I remember Tay Diggs was saying something like that. I'm going to kind of paraphrase what he was saying, but I think Tay Diggs was, people were getting on him for dating white women. And from what I understand, it was his mama encouraging him to be on some shit where you date white women. And that's something that we got to come to terms with too. When it comes to these brothers out here buck dancing for Becky, it's a lot of these white mothers, not white, but these black mothers encouraging that. It's a lot of these black coon mammies out here who will encourage their sons to date white women. I've heard brothers say from their black mothers, if they brought a woman home too dark, the black mother would have a problem. I've heard that before. There's some of these coons are being raised by these bunny ruckus ass mammies. And not only the mothers, I won't even say the mothers. I won't even say the mothers. Some of the fathers too. You got coon daddies out here. You got some coon pappies. I give you an example. Joe Jackson, Michael Jackson's dad. He was a old coon, according to some of the shit that I've heard. Like Bobby Brown dated Janet Jackson back in the day. And Bobby Brown said Janet's dad, the dad didn't want them dating no dark-skinned black people. Joe Jackson was a coon. From that era, there's a lot of coonery. Joe Jackson was a fucking coon. We're going to have to be real about that. And look, I know some of the family, but there was a coon spirit. Bobby said it. He was like, they kept that shit a secret because the dad would have opposed her dating a dark-skinned black man. That's why you look at Janet's early dating and marriage. It was always, you know, a DeBarge and that Rene Elizondo dude. There's a reason why Michael bleached himself like that, listening to Joe's ass talk crazy to him all his life. You understand? On that TV show, Married to Medicine, there was a very infamous episode where one of the ladies was talking to her son. He's like 14 years old, just cooning it up, talking about dating white girls and he don't want no sister. It was some real coon shit he was saying, and the mom was kind of giggling about it. The mother on Married to Medicine, she was giggling about the little coon shit her son was saying. Like that little coon shit he was saying was funny. So that means she low-key co-signed his little baby cooning. I wish I had a clip of that. Let me see if I could find it real quick while I'm talking. But this little boy, man, his little butter biscuits had a little jelly on them. The way he was talking about getting with white women and all this old bullshit. And there's another little baby coon. And he's obviously, his name is CJ Pearson. And I think I played something on him before. He's a little 15-year-old dude. He's a little moist boy. Whoever his parents have allowed him to be manipulated by some of these white supremacist groups who pretend to be Republican. Because this little kid, he's like 15 to 16 now, but he regurgitates all these white supremacist talking points. And he's like, he's a teen. And they got to this cat early. Let me play. This is a 15-year-old baby coon. Hold on. This is CJ Pearson.
Yes, I'm CJ Pearson. Earlier today, I went on Twitter and I saw a viral tweet that said something along the lines of FY People 2K18. Every day I see tweets like this that say that white people are trash, white people are this, white people are that, a variety of so many hateful things that I've been led to make this video and call it out for what it is. Racist filth. You know, I've even seen comments like this from members of the extreme factions of Black Lives Matter saying that white people are of the devil and so forth and so on. An organization apparently so-called committed to equality, but yet are dividing us with comments just like that. Comments like that are heralded amongst the left, heralded within the media. They don't disown them. They don't disavow them. And why? prejudice against anyone, including white people, is wrong. It's disgusting, and it is the same type of hate that folks like Martin Luther King marched and preached against. You know, if I remember correctly, Martin Luther King said that we should be judged by the content of our character and not by the color of our skin. And I think he had a point. And that didn't only apply to black and brown people, but it applied to all people. That we should all be judged by the content of our character. And this should go without saying. Every white person is a racist. Every white person doesn't want to see minorities fail. Every white person is an evil. We are all brothers and sisters. We are all sons of our Lord. And we all bleed the same color. Stop the hate. Stop the divisiveness, and let's end this racism on all sides of the table.
All okay, so that that's baby coon talk. That's some shit, a script that the white supremacists have written for him. They've always tried to have some comparative racism. Let's stop racism on all sides. See, black racism is calling somebody a name. White supremacy is affecting people's lives in area of activity. We're talking apples and oranges. There's no black racism. You only have black name calling, which is not comparative to systematic white supremacy. But the thing is, they'll get the baby coons out here and have them do all the white supremacist talking points. But my problem is, who's this nigga's parents? Who is his parents to allow him to be utilized by the white supremacists? See, that's why I look at the older coons who allowed their son to be turned into a baby coon. You understand? And y'all think, well, you're going to keep your kids safe by raising them to be little butter biscuit ass-kissing coons, and it's not making them safe, and it's putting all of us in jeopardy. We need people who are going to stand up and oppose systematic white supremacy and come up with empowerment codes to protect ourselves globally. Cooning has never worked. Just for personal butter biscuits, that's just not going to cut it. You can't pass them butter biscuits down because the butter biscuits eventually gets yanked away from you at the end of the day. So I'm told all you young folks out there, being a baby coon is not the option and you need to get your shit right. Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. Everybody, again, I want you, if you're listening, go to iTunes right now and pre-order right now the new Mink Slide single, It's Time. That's my music group. Our single is going to be released on the 20th, but I need you to pre-order it right now. Get that pre-order game on Fleek and then put a review up after you make the pre-order. Go to iTunes, go to the Google Play Store if you have an Android phone. iTunes, Google, Android. I need y'all to do that right now, family. We're going to make an impact on the music game. We're going to take that shit by storm. We're going to do it heavy. And it's only a dollar. The single is a buck. On Google Play is 99 cents. It's going to take you 10 seconds to do it. I want everybody to do that now. Much love to everybody in the chat room, man. Y'all have a great week. And again, raise your kids to get the coon spirit up out of them. We need this next generation on point. That baby coon spirit ain't going to work. We're going to be right back in the same boat. And even worse, being a baby coon is not the option no more. All right. Anyway, y'all, I'm up out of here, man. Y'all have a good one. Y'all have a very safe and empowering weekend. Y'all be good.